The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. Bright and early on a Thursday morning for us. The day after Jaden Daniels had his pro day, which means today is the day that Drake May will have his. And thus, it's going to be hard for us, Logan, to break down the future. We cannot break down Drake May's pro day. We will talk a little bit about Daniels, but I want to start the show today, and we will eventually also, of course, on a pro day podcast, get to stories of Logan Paulson's pro day, yeah. Which is really what we're all here for.
Which is such a storied event, actually, in pro day history. So
yes, it famously, infamously, both. Actually, we will get to that a little bit later in the show. Always love to have story time on the program. But want to just start with like really what a pro day is versus the combine. Like we all know they're workouts, but like what is it about pro days that is different? Why do they matter? Do they matter? And et cetera, et cetera. I think there's obviously a lot of stuff that we can go deeper on too with as guys, more and more guys skip the combine and how we then weight the pro day differently when there isn't a combine to balance it against. But just to start basically, like what I almost just want to just say, like, what is a pro day? Like people know it's a workout, yeah. But like deeper than that, deeper than the obvious, like what is a pro day versus what we see at other workouts?
So, yeah, I think like when you're comparing pro day to combine, like the biggest distinction is this is it's on your dime. And what I mean by that, it's on your time. And so like I get there when the workout is scheduled. I'm not out late the night before doing medical testing. I'm not up early doing team interviews. I get to start the workout when the school has designated it. And then they do a great job of kind of making sure it moves right along because the school has the motivation to make sure that you feel good, look good, play good. They want you to be productive in this setting. So I think like when you think about pro day, just think about it. It's very, very similar to the combine. You know, you do your jumps, you do your runs. You might do some on-field testing there. Like, you know, I think Jaden Daniels is a great example. Like he threw, Malik Nabers ran, Ryan Thompson did some route stuff too. So they get to see them there in person and live in living color. It's your receivers. Everything kind of is favored to you. And I think that's the thing about the pro day. And that's the thing I think that's so important with some of these athletes. It's like the combine is a great tool. It's a great tool for teams. It's not a great tool for the athlete all the time. So I think it's great that these guys are kind of taking advantage of the opportunity to kind of set the tone and say, I want to put my best foot forward in the interview process. I will come. I'll interview with the teams. Most of the guys are doing medical. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams were the exception to that rule this year. But here they are at the pro day. They get to kind of do it and set it the way they want. And I think it's smart, honestly. I think it's smart. You sleep in your own bed, you wake up on your own time. I think it's the right move if you want to kind of have the most productive version of yourself.
Yeah, I think that everything you said plus even like you are in control of the workout itself, right? Like, especially with these quarterbacks, as opposed to going through a drill. And we've talked about this with the combine, right? One of the things they're testing at the combine is like, how well do you learn? We're going to show you a drill and expect you to do it 5 minutes later. Cause the position drills change marginally every single year. Like, obviously there's the gauntlet for the receivers and all that kind of stuff, but they have them run maybe slightly different routes or different coaches doing it. So there's slightly different coaching point. The DB drills or the defensive line drills, those positional drills might change a little bit and you might not have done that exact drill before. And how quickly do you learn, adapt to the drill and do it? Well, combine, we know this with the quarterbacks because we see and we hear about the script every single year, but it's the same for every position. Like, you are in total control of being able to display the things that you want to display, and you have your coaches in it, and it becomes much more of a rehearsal, which is has its positives and negatives from the scouting process, but it becomes more of like a rehearsal and performance than it is like a learning test. So it really, even though it's still drills, like in many ways, it's a very different piece of information than the drills that you do in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and I also think a point of distinction there too is like, so for example, at my combine, I know a lot of combines, like for our purposes, we're talking about Jaden Daniels' combine, Malik Nabers' combine, and they are going to script their own day. But for me, like a smaller, you know, like a less renowned prospect, for most guys, they'll have a scout put you through drills. So there is still that learning element, but I think the difference between the combine, where it is a position coach, you know, like Phil Rauscher, the vaunted O-line coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, does the on-field session for the O-line. Like, he's there. Chris Morgan is there. They're all the coaches are there for the event. Here, it's a regional scout that's putting you through the drill. So you don't get the same kind of coaching. I don't think you get the same kind of impact at Pro Day if you're a smaller school guy, and you get to meet the coach. But I do think it's just it's a little bit different. But I do think, to your point, yeah, you still get to control all those, especially if you're the quarterback, right? Like, I get to throw my script. I have my coach write it up. Or, you know, in Kirk Cousins' case, he wrote the script himself and said, these are the throws I need to show, I need to see. And it just allows you to, again, to put your best foot forward. And the thing that I keep coming back to with the quarterbacks, it's like I'm throwing to my guys. So it should look really crisp. Like, I know this guy. Like, one of the things when you watch every year, when you watch you know, routes on air at the combine, is the miscommunication in how guys run routes. Like, they're just a little bit off. Like, you know, everyone was kind of watching all those clips of J.J. McCarthy missing all these throws. And I'm like, this is probably not a bad throw, but this receiver is not running this route the right way. Or maybe J.J.'s a little bit ahead or behind or whatever it is. And it's just a lack of familiarity. So at your pro day, you should look awesome by comparison because it's your day. It's your everything is set up for you to be successful. And I really think it's a great tool. I think it's a great tool. And I think the other thing that people sleep on with the pro day specifically, with the higher end prospects, is through the process, I think we might have talked about this before, is I only get to meet you as a coach or a scout a couple of times officially, right? I get to meet you at the combine, I get to meet you at the pro day, I get to meet you on the official. So I think that's where it becomes really advantageous to be like, hey, I'm getting to meet you, I'm getting to see you, I'm getting to kind of get a feel for your personality in a way that I wouldn't have without this event. So I think that's where the other big advantage comes in.
Well, what I was going to say next is the other huge importance of the pro day is not just are you, especially if you're one of these top top quarterbacks or top prospects in general, in charge of your workout, you're in charge of your time. And so, you know, as you said, start time, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yes. But then also, who am I meeting with after? I don't have to meet with every team. Like, I can just, if I'm Jaden Daniels, be like, I'm going to dap up Adam Peters on my way out to the warm up. And then I'm going to spend dinner with him and his team afterwards. And you hear really cool stories. There was one that was making the rounds this week about way back in the day, the Bengals took Carson Palmer out to dinner, but they also took like his teammates with them because they wanted to see how he interacted with them, which feels a little bit draft day-y, the movie, but is actually really important. Like, how do the teammates interact on the field, but also, you know, it's one thing you can fake it. You can kind of get that enthusiasm where you need it to be over the hour or whatever session of everybody running around. You see Jaden Daniels going and, you know, dapping up Malik Nabers after he runs the 4.35. And that's great, but like, you can't fake it over the course of an hour and a half, 2 hour dinner. Like, eventually there's going to be some real interaction there. You're going to be able to pull it out if you're a good GM and a good conversationalist, which, you know, is part of being the job. So, or part of doing that job. So, getting those interactions and really, of course, it's the player, but it's also the agent really being in control of how the time is spent while the teams are in town for the pro day. That is a huge, huge deal. And, you know, the Commanders are in a great spot in that particular case because They're the team with the highest pick that's unaccounted for. Everyone kind of knows Caleb's going to Chicago. So if you're Jaden Daniels, the Commanders all of a sudden become your priority if you want to go as high as you can in this draft. Same thing will happen in Chapel Hill today. Drake May, I'm sure, you know, you only get one dinner. You can spend time in the facility and stuff with other teams, but that one dinner you get, I'm going to guess Adam Peters and company are having back-to-back pretty important nights here.
No, I think absolutely. And I think that's the right way to approach it. Like if, again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I think it's just such an important point to continue to drive home. Like, I want to know you as a person. I'm going to be working with you every single day. You're going to be the face of the franchise. You're going to be the face of the offense. And by extension, probably the face of the team, because it's such an offensive driven sport. And I got to make sure you are as close to the guy as I can tell. And I know people say, oh, film is the most important. Yes. They've watched film on all these guys. They understand what they do, what they can do, what they can't do, where they can improve. They understand all that stuff. But I want to know if you're the type of guy who's going to take the initiative and improve it yourself. And like, that's where these interactions become so incredibly important, so incredibly critical in terms of making the right decision for the organization. And I think, I had a bunch of conversations at the combine this year where like, man, I missed on a guy because of X. And oftentimes it's a personality thing. Like he was a low burn guy. Like I thought I could get it out of him. Or I thought, and it's not that they're not talented. It's just that they don't have the motivation to continuously improve. And so if I'm drafting a quarterback, I want to make sure I got a guy that's wired the right way. But I think you look at like Mitchell Trubisky as an example, right? Wired the right way, just couldn't physically get it done at the position. So there's always this kind of, you know, this dichotomy of saying person, athlete. And I think the great thing about this draft is you've got three guys, I'm going to put JJ McCarthy in there, who are athletic enough to play the position. Now it's about finding the right person to fill the needs of your organization.
Yeah, we'll talk about the differences in those three guys here in just a moment, because I think we've come, you and I have landed in a similar place with McCarthy. It's, you know, adding on to May and Daniels and trying to separate them out now is, you know, Now that we've lumped them together, we got to find a way to separate them out. So we'll do that here in a few minutes. But I think that, you know, the other thing that's cool about these interactions is it's not a first impression. It's not the speed date that you get at the combine. And maybe you might have met a guy at the Senior Bowl as well, depending on who the prospect is. But if you are at these pro days, like, you really get a chance to spend quality time, but it's not your first meeting. You have that 15-minute session at the combine, which is your shotgun first, you know, your first date, if you will. And then, you know, like, okay, we're going to this pro day and we're going to get to know them better there. And so there's not like there's a different energy when you've met someone before. And so, like, what is that energy like that second time around? What is the energy that you feel off of that prospect? And I know that feels very, like, woo-woo, but at the end of the day, like, if you're judging people, that's what you have to judge it on. And you just have to hope that if you're a fan of a team that, you know, Adam Peters in this particular case has a good judge of character, that he's a good judge of people, because that's kind of the big differentiating skill here as a general manager is your ability to do that well versus the guys who miss on that kind of stuff.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And again, this is why this process is, you know, the draft is considered such a crapshoot, because you are evaluating people, right? Like, maybe something about the environment at LSU spoke to what Jaden Daniels did well. And like, can you maximize that here? Maybe you can't, you know? And I think like that's where scouting, like the term scouting, I think is so important, is understanding those kind of elements, understanding the person, understanding the player, understanding what is going on at the school. It's such an interesting process, because in a second here, when we talk about these quarterbacks, I think that's going to come to light. It's like, you can talk yourself into good and bad things with both of them, with all of them. And I think like you're just looking for that one thing. And if I'm an evaluator, the only thing I can come back to is like, do I like Drake May's film? Yeah. Do I like JJ McCarthy's film? Yeah. Do I like Jaden Daniels' film? Do they all have holes in their game? Yeah. What is the deciding? What is the thing that differentiates them? And I keep coming back to, it's the person. I'm betting on you as a person. It's like any job interview. You know, you go and they say, oh, I'm not hiring you. I'm hiring the person. I'm not hiring the position. I'm hiring the person. And like, that's essentially what you're getting here, right? It's like, I got to have I was talking to a person, a family friend, and she's a doctor, and she's like, you know, a lot of times for residencies we hire the individual we like the best, because we have to spend 70 hours a week for them for their residency. And it's like, that makes 100% sense, because you want to be able to say, I want to invest time in you. I want to improve you. I want you to be reciprocal with that. And so I think that it applies to every profession. It's just with a quarterback, it's more publicized and it's more criticized when the decision doesn't go correctly. So
for sure. By the way, speaking of things that should be criticized, if you want to feel terrible about the medical system, go read the history of how residencies became to be. The guy that founded them and thought that was that kind of intensive, being awake a long time and working that many hours, a lot of cocaine. So, you know, not probably the best way to run things. Anyway, apropos of none of that, last thing on the pro day circuit, if you will, outside of story time at the end, anything that you take out of Jaden Daniels pro day from the media interviews that he did? Obviously, we don't know. We're not privy to the information that was exchanged between Peters and Daniels and the rest of the commander staff, DQ, et cetera. But anything from either watching the workout or any of the media interviews that stood out to you?
Yeah. So from the workout, I think the thing that sticks out to me, and it's something that I've been having a hard time articulating on film, and I think this is one of the benefits of seeing him just throw on air, because it takes everything else away. It lets you look at the mechanics, look at the footwork. He's got a really quick release. He's got a very nice fundamental release. It reminds me a little bit of like Jimmy Garoppolo. And he was the guy in my career that I played with who had the quickest release. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, Jane doesn't have the biggest arm. But when your release is snappy like that, it allows you to fit the ball in small windows, because defenses aren't used to the ball, the ball coming from, you know, this position, you know, kind of at your chest to out so quickly. Like, I remember Jimmy used to be able to sneak in slants and stuff, and the linebacker would read it correctly, but they weren't used to the ball jumping out of his hand like that. Now, the ball isn't traveling with the velocity that it is, you know, with JJ. I've seen JJ's pro day. You know, he's got a bigger arm. The ball velocity is better. But I do think the snappiness of that release makes me feel a little bit better about his overall, kind of like he's got the weakest arm of those three guys. You know what I mean? But I don't know if it's going to kill him because the release is so quick, right? And the other thing that sticks out to me is like he is a little bit quiet. You know, when he does interviews, he's a little bit kind of, I don't know what the right word is. And so if I'm Peters, if I'm Quinn, I want to make sure that you are, while you are quiet, you still have an ability to relate to people, you know, and motivate people and get them to kind of follow you. And I think that's why I think like the stuff with Malik Nabers, I know that's probably getting overblown, but him going to celebrate that, it shows a relatability to your teammates. It shows that even though I might be slightly introverted, I found ways to kind of, in my own way, connect with these guys. And so that's why I think like the pro days are, they're just a small data point. You know, I'm not trying to overblow this, but again, the little technical thing there with the release, I think the stuff with his teammates is also going to be super important, because, you know, at the combine, when I saw him give an interview, he's very soft spoken. He's very humble, which I love, but I also want to know that you have this ability to be like, hey guys, we're going this way and you're coming with me and follow me. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like Kirk Cousins, when he was here in Washington, was the second string quarterback, but was always a leader in that way, you know, understood his role and understood how to lead from that role. And so did Robert in his own way. And I think that that's like something that's just like, is it, can you do it? And it doesn't have to look like Tom Brady, for example, but you have to be able to kind of get the most out of your teammates.
So. For sure. And that, honestly, that kind of quiet but fiery personality type reminds me of Lamar. Lamar's pretty quiet, but like that dude's a good leader, and like challenge him and watch him watch. He will quietly mumble. Yeah. Not, I don't want to say mumble, but like he'll quietly go into the microphone and tell you what he's about to do. Like he's competitive son of a gun. And I also think that, you know, if you look at some of the people around Jaden and who really likes him, if Herm Edwards and Antonio Pierce, who are notoriously competitive, if those guys and fiery, if those guys were like, that's my guy, I think that speaks very well to those categories, even if it doesn't look, like you said, like a Tom Brady, you know, fired up in the middle of the huddle, traditional quarterbacky, whatever. So I think that's a good shout, a good note on watching, you know, him with Nabers, and there are some other examples and data points that we can point to.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Greg Hoffman from Take Command. It's not just a podcast. It's the 25th hour of your day, your weekly source for all things Commanders, right on time, your time. A list of household chores. Do them without missing a beat and listen while you work. In the car, turn mundane drives into memorable moments. With podcasts, you can maximize productivity and minimize FOMO. We're on demand, so we fit perfectly into your schedule. Follow Take Command in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Logan, so that brings us to the decision, which obviously there's more data to be gathered. There's seemingly always more data to be gathered. We got Drake May's pro day, had McCarthy's, had Jaden Daniels that we just talked about. They still have their 30 visits, and assumingly they will bring all these guys to Ashburn. And you know, we just said one of the benefits of the pro day is for the athlete is it's on their turf. Well, come on over to Ashburn and see what the turf is like there in Northern Virginia. But ultimately, they've got a decision to make between these three guys. And I know there's a lot of folks who are going to find this unbelievable, but we both, as the more we've watched McCarthy, have landed on he's in the group. He is right there with Drake May. He is right there with Jaden Daniels. There is just a ton of good film. There's not a lot of film, you know, because there's not a lot of fluff in his film. A lot of other quarterbacks where they have more throws, a lot of those other throws are just like bubble screens or quick game where there's not really a decision to be made. And yeah, they did it. But when you if you're just like make a cut up of NFL throws, JJ McCarthy's cut up would be just as long and have just as many throws as most of these other guys. So I think that when you take that and you look at the quality of those throws, JJ McCarthy is absolutely 100% right there. And I think the question I have now that I've made that determination and you agree with me, and we've been texting with some of our buddies around the NFL scouting world and the media scouting world. And a lot of them are like, yeah, no, I like him way more than I thought I would too, as they've watched the tape. Is how do you then separate them back out? And to me, that question starts with, like, obviously we're going to have the personality stuff and there's going to be stuff that we're not privy to. But from a football standpoint, which one of these guys fits best with what Washington wants to do offensively, which right now means what Cliff Kingsbury is trying to build offensively? Do you feel like you have any sense of an answer on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, you asked me this question last night, and I think I stayed up a couple hours thinking about it. And I think the problem—
Sorry to ruin your sleep.
No, but I like that. That's like why I'm a psycho about this stuff is because, like, one of the things that I have a hard time with is I do think Cliff is smart enough to kind of adjust his offense to fit. Now, I kind of took it a different way. Basically, I said, of the three guys, who would I be most comfortable starting day one? And there's a lot of people that would say JJ. And I think JJ is a guy that is interesting because of the thing you just talked about. Like, when you watch his film, you're just like, oh my gosh, every throw, every window, every read is an NFL throw read. But then again, you get to these moments where you see his immaturity as a player. Now, I think he's going to grow and I think he's going to get better. And I think he does have a relatively high upside. And I think he's got some familiarity with NFL stuff, which gets me excited. Then I go to Drake and I'm like, all right, well, Drake doesn't have the footwork fundamentals, right? But he does have that, like, you know, Farvian kind of baller mode, which I love to see. And you need to have a little bit of that at the quarterback position. And then I get to Drake May, or then I get to Jaden Daniels, and I say, like, if I had to start someone, it would probably be him. And again, like, I don't know if he's got the highest ceiling. I don't know if he's got the lowest floor. But if I had to start someone tomorrow, I think it's probably him. And I think when you look at his composure, when you look at his ability to make tight window throws, and again, he's throwing to some of the best receivers at college football, but there was a gamesmanship to him that I can't overvalue. right? Like when the moment was big, he made a play. When like they got to have it on third down, he would make the play. And I think there was just a composure to him, the quick release, the fundamentals all seemed to line up. And then the ability to run the football from the quarterback position, I think elevates the floor of this offense. And I look at what Cliff Kingsbury did with Kyler Murray in Arizona. And when you're in the gun a lot, which I think they're going to be in the gun quite a bit, I think having the ability to run the quarterback or at least threaten the run is going to be extremely impactful. And so that's where I'd kind of say like that was my distinguishing factor. If tomorrow I had to start one of these guys, it would be Jaden Daniels. Now, that doesn't mean like longitudinally they're going to be the best player, but I just think that guy is probably the most ready to start tomorrow. And again, like, is it going to be perfect? No. But when I look at what Cliff does, one of the things that I thought was brilliant about that offense is a lot of times, you know, they get in this 3-by-1 set, right? They got three receivers to the left, one receiver to the right. And they would just pretty much be like, if you like the matchup to the right, throw the ball. And he throws the best deep ball in the class. And it's not like we're running an out or a hitch. It's like we are running a go. And we're going to give our receiver an opportunity to make that throw. And that's a skill set that this guy has kind of the best in the class. He throws the best deep ball in the class. So if that's going to be a big feature of what you do, I want to make sure my completion percentage is higher than 50% on that. And I want a guy who's going to be really accurate with that. So the running ability, the deep ball accuracy, given how Cliff handles some of that vertical stuff, those vertical, it's not an option route, but like kind of alerts on the backside.
Yeah.
I just think that skill set's going to be really, really important.
Yeah. No. And so it comes down to like, what question are you trying to answer? Like, is it the best guy for day one or is it the best guy for day five or not day five, a year five? Right. Yeah. Like in their prime, are we trying to get a top five quarterback? And do we think all three of these guys can get there? Do we think just one of them, but is it too risky? And like, this is both the positive and the negative of this discussion. And I think this is where some people get sideways with it is like, you feel like you're bashing the other guy. You know, if I say I want player A, am I bashing player B? It's like, no, I actually like all of them. And that's why I think this is so hard is I genuinely am at a point where I am comfortable with all three of them going at two, which also makes me comfortable saying, hey, if you can trade back and get more and then get any one of them at five, then sick. Like do that. And that would probably be better than taking any one of them at two. But like, there's a lot of people that disagree. A lot of people that think Drake is like that dude, that Jaden is that dude. And there's starting to be a larger contingent of people that are like, actually, I think JJ McCarthy is that dude. And so it becomes very difficult to evaluate because it will come down to the personality. It will come down to, are we looking more short-term, more long-term? And what is the likelihood that we can get our guy there? Because I think the guy with the highest upside, which is what a lot of people would tell you is the most important thing. Are we going to get the guy? Are we going to get the perennial Pro Bowler or even all pro level quarterback? That guy, the biggest upside guy is Drake May. If I had to start any one of these three tomorrow, he's the last. I would start JJ over him and I would start Jaden over him and I wouldn't think twice about it. And so I don't know what to do with that information. That's why Adam Peters' paycheck is a lot bigger than mine, amongst many other reasons. But that is ultimately the conundrum, put as concisely as possible, is the upside and the short-term plays are literally the opposite guy.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a great point because I do agree. I think Drake May, like when you look at the big-time throw stuff, when you look at the kind of high-level playmaking nuance, the kind of gunslinger mentality, like he's got it, man. He's got that factor. And it's the inconsistency stuff that gets you thinking, man, if he could sit for 8 weeks, I think I'd be much higher on him. But I don't think they've built the roster at the moment to sustain him sitting for 8 weeks. Now, if you had re-signed Jacoby Brissett or you had kind of gone out and signed a Gardner Minshew, one of those higher-end backups that we're talking about, kind of that, you know, the 25th to the 35th quarterback in the NFL to kind of be that guy, to be that mentor, I feel much, much better about that. But for the construction of the team as it currently exists, I don't know if he can come in day one and, like, just lead you the way you need to be led. I think there's a lot of rawness to him. And, again, like, he's uber-talented, man. Like, he's uber talented, but there's an inconsistency with his footwork, his arm mechanics, the release, all that kind of stuff. And everyone says, oh, well, like Aaron Rodgers was like that coming out. And I totally agree he was like that, but he sat for like 4 years, 3 years, and then figured it out. And so that's something I keep coming back to. It's like, if you kind of put him on the shelf for a little bit, let him grow up, I think you feel pretty good about it. I'm really glad you brought up the JJ thing too, because I do think JJ brings, compared to Jaden, brings a little bit more natural arm talent. And that's because I think JJ's arm talent is special. Like when you watch him throw at the combine, I think that's one of the reasons people were pretty geeked about his pro day, is because a lot of the media members were seeing him throw for the first time in person. And you're like, oh, this dude can sling it. And, you know, that's something we knew, or that I knew when I went to the combine, because you watch all the drills, you're like, the ball comes out of his hands differently than Bo Nix, Michael Penix. The only guy that's different is Joe Milton. We'll talk about him in a little bit because he's a freak, but he's kind of in that category of just elite arm talent, and he can run the football. Like, that's the thing. When you watch this film, like, he's a good runner, and I think he's a little bit more of a natural runner than Drake May. So in a year where you got to kind of survive that, you know, having a lack of talent around you, I would probably lean him. But again, he's a guy also that I think would be much, much better if he could sit for a year. So that's why I kind of go back to the Jaden Daniels thing. Like, to your point, like, is that the right way to approach this decision? And I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for it, because I don't think that I would feel very comfortable day one with Drake May starting. But if it's year three and he's looking good and he's cooking, he's cleaned up some of these things, like, his ceiling's by far the highest. And so that's where the conundrum comes in to me. It's just like, they're all good. They're all good in different ways. And it's just about what you feel that you can develop and what you can tolerate while you're kind of in the midst of a roster reconstruction, if that's kind of how you want to term it.
Right. And the thing is with Drake too, like, if he plays, like, you can play and be bad and still be good in the end, right? Like the Peyton Manning example of setting the NFL rookie record for interceptions, and it worked out just fine for him. Like, if Peyton Manning had sat, would he have turned into the same guy? Probably. Would it happen at the same speed? Probably not. Like, who knows? Where there's other guys where you're like, man, if that dude hadn't sat early, I don't know that he ever makes it. Like, he doesn't figure it out. He needed to sit. And we don't know with Drake. Like, we can't possibly know with Drake. And it's not like we can play it out one way, then rewind the tape, and then try the other way if it didn't work. Like, you only get one shot at this. So could Drake May be the guy and play through a ton of mistakes and it's really ugly, but by week 9, 10, he's starting to figure some things out and next year he's pretty good? Like, that could be possible. Or do you sit him and just deal with Marcus Mariota being your quarterback, whatever that turns into, and hope that, you know, you can call an offense in a way that makes you competitive week in and week out? Like, maybe that is the play. So I think that's really tough. I do want to, before we get even farther.
I'm glad you brought that up, though. Because I do think, like, you know, when we say sit, I said sit, and I'm glad you made a little bit of a distinction there, because sitting is one thing, but also, like, insulating is another way to look at that, right? Like, can you pull a Russell Wilson with him where he's starting, but he's definitely a passenger to his offense, right? Tom Brady early in his career, like, where he's starting, but, like, he's not having to do the high leverage stuff all the time. And I think, like, looking at Sam Howell as an example, like, they kind of did it the other way. They said, here's everything, figure it out. And there's merit to that in some circles, but I think the way that's more consistently successful is the one where they are just kind of, they're the passenger to the offense. So you could definitely construct that, and I think that they've done a pretty good job of getting pieces around him that offensively that would allow that to happen. But I do think that the offense would look, and again, they're all going to be passengers to a certain extent, but I think with Drake, it's like you need that kind of maturation period for him to kind of ensure that he doesn't get cooked and that you have an opportunity to have that kind of top of the line quarterback opportunity.
And I think that's a separator. You know, Jaden's in his own category here to an extent in terms of readiness. Like, he is definitely the most ready. And part of that is his escapability, right? He gets out and can run. And, like, that's a safety flotation device in a year where, as a rookie quarterback in the NFL, it's good to have a safety flotation device. Yeah. But he's also, I think it's worth pointing out, like, he's 23 years old, will turn 24 during the season. McCarthy will not, unless the command, you know, whichever team he gets drafted by makes a run in the playoffs, he will be 21 the entire season. He doesn't turn 22 till next January. So when we talk about readiness and, like, maturation and all that kind of stuff, like, it makes sense that Jaden is ahead of these other guys. But I think that, like, when I look at JJ and Drake, to take Jaden out of it for a moment, just as a point of comparison, one of the biggest flaws in May's game is one of, to me, the biggest strengths in McCarthy's, which is JJ has this ability, and I noticed this, just, you sent me a great cut up of, like, almost every throw of his from 2023. Yeah. And so you're able to just watch throw after throw after throw after throw. He has an instinctual ability to find the soft spot in the pocket. And, like, no matter where that in that parabola, that U shape of the pocket is the center that is the safest. He has an ability to feel that and kind of float to it and then just get his, keep his feet and rip a ball somewhere. But that, like, I think if I'm an offensive lineman and I watch JJ McCarthy, I'm like, that's the guy I want because he is going to make me look really, really good. Meanwhile, Drake May, when you watch him drop in the pocket, he is all over the damn place. Like, yeah, he floats into pressure all the time. And so if I think of the things that could derail a game, a season, from a young quarterback, like, what gives us a chance? That single characteristic from JJ McCarthy is like a huge green flag, where it's a pretty big red flag for Drake. And to bring Jaden back in the conversation, his sack to pressure ratio, he's got like two of the worst 10 seasons ever in the SEC. Yeah. And so you combine that with the weight, which, you know, as we talked about with Nate Tice, like, the weight is not a durability factor. It's a sack prevention factor as much as anything. Like, you know, that is an interesting data point that, you know, again, there's a lot of different data points. This isn't to say that this settles the argument and it's JJ McCarthy, but like, on the sack killing drive, like, ability to take pressure, ability to avoid pressure, you know, line of the evaluation, it's a huge check mark in McCarthy's book. And I think that's one of his great strengths to go along with the arm talent. And I think that there is an element of that that is uncoachable and natural because it's a feel thing. And to watch him consistently do it well, I think is really, really impressive and is one of the reasons why I feel pretty good about lumping him in the category with two guys who seem more talented and have been ahead of him for a lot of the process.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And another kind of point with JJ is, like, it's all NFL concept. It's all NFL throws. It's all NFL windows. And it's so hard for me as an evaluator to remove that bias from my evaluation, because I'm like, yeah, that is NFL Sunday. That is NFL Sunday. And it doesn't mean that the other guys can't do it, but it's just in your face in a way. Like, when you watch those cutups, you're like, this is 3rd and 8. He's hitting mesh, but he's hitting like the second crosser, and like, he's anticipating this throw, or they're hitting drive and the back's bursting and pulling the linebacker. He's anticipating this throw, or they're running, you know, like Y high cross, and it's not Y, but let's say F high cross, and he's hitting the crosser on the back shoulder and open, and he's creating open throws and opportunities for these guys. And again, like, you watch the Bowling Green game, he looks like the worst quarterback in America, but there are like the consistency of it. You're just like, oh my gosh, like, this is, That's why NFL teams are excited. That's why NFL evaluators are excited, I think. And I also think it's important to note that one of the reasons this JJ McCarthy hype is happening now is because this is when coaches get in on the evaluation, right? This is when they start watching film. And you better believe those dudes are like, we run that concept. Like, for example, there was a play that he was running the other day, which was CO. So it's an out and a corner. And it was versus cover 2. And no other quarterback in this group that we're talking about has done this. He looks to the flat, the corner attacks the flat, and then he rips a fastball to the corner.
So, I remember the play.
In terms of manipulating coverage with your eyes and having a feel for the pocket, like, it's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. Now, is that NFL translatable? He's on this team that's got 20 guys going and they're going to get drafted this year. I understand. But when you watch the film, it's so hard to get away from that. And I just want to talk to the Jaden Daniels point real quick about the sack to pressure ratio. Not all sacks, especially when you watch them, and I think John Kime brought this up, so shout out to John Kime, but like, not all sacks are created equal. So when you go watch his sacks, there's protection busts, there's guys losing quick, there's stuff like that at LSU. And also he's a playmaker, you know, with his legs in a way that the other guys aren't there. And those guys traditionally have higher sack rates. So because he's so dynamic as a runner, you're gonna kind of, there's a little bit of a give and take there. I'm not sure, like, when you watch his cutups, when you watch his film, I'm not sure that that's problematic in the same way it is problematic for Drake May, where, to your point, Drake May is sometimes finding pressures where you're, yeah, like, don't do that. Like, that's not what we need here. And I think, like, that's where I would kind of differentiate those other guys. Obviously, I think JJ does it the best in terms of sack to pressure ratio. Then there's Jaden, but Drake, there's times where, again, I like his film, I like the playmaker, I like what he brings, I like the moxie, but in terms of, like, being super polished, he's not, which makes me think he's a little bit more developmental than people want to kind of give. Again, uber talented, but that stuff where you're like running into a defensive end or you're stepping up into a 3 technique, it's like, what are we doing here, man? Like, I don't want to say that's a fatal flaw, but that's a big deal that needs to get corrected. And it can get corrected. It's just, how much time do you have to make sure that that's fixed before week 1 is the question with him. Again, uber talented guy. Love the, like, again, we did the big time throw cut up. I don't know if I sent that one to you, but when you watch big time throws, you're like, this is the best quarterback I've ever evaluated, right? Like, because that's what he brings. But it's more than that. It's more than like the upside. It's also the low level stuff, which are like, and it speaks to some of the inconsistencies, which we've talked about a ton, you and I, over the last couple of weeks. He's the inconsistency is because of these issues. And that's the thing with him that gets you a little bit nervous.
Yeah, for sure. I think the other thing, you know, just to kind of wrap up this conversation, or two other things, kind of getting back to our original point, how does it fit with Kingsbury offense? I think there are pluses and minuses up and down. The one thing that I do think you see, and I would love to watch some more All 22 on McCarthy and kind of see, is this intentional? But there is a lot of underthrown deep balls. And if you're going to have to, like, he's clearly got the arm strength. When you talk about ripping balls, like 30 yards on a rope, I think it's against Utah. It might be against UNLV. It was hard because I watched a lot. You know, a lot yesterday, and it was against a red team. Now I feel like a child. They were playing the red team. But he rolls left and throws a touchdown pass to the back of the end zone. His feet are on the 20-yard line. And so it's a 30-yard throw because it's 10 yards deep in the end zone on a rope. And he's rolling left as a right-handed quarterback. And like unbelievable highlight level throw. So that high level stuff is there. Clearly the arm strength is there, but he does underthrow the deep ball on occasion, or with some frequency, I should say. And his guys make plays. So it winds up on the highlight tape, but you're like, oh, that ball should be a little bit out in front. Is that an anticipation thing? Is that I'm reading a backside corner that's not in the frame thing? Like that is a question. But for Cliff, the guy who wants to vertically attack traditionally, I do wonder if that's like a, hey, not my favorite. Where Jaden, as you mentioned, has a little bit weaker arm overall, but he's the best deep ball thrower in the class. So I think that that's an interesting dichotomy as well in terms of the fit. So I don't know if there's anything. There's one other thing I want to mention too on the mental side of it, but anything else from like a fit perspective that you think is worth mentioning? If you're running a specific system, which guy you would lean towards one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that deep ball thing, because sometimes when I watch the film, I'm like, oh, is he trying to hit the back shoulder here? Which is a thing that makes sense because of the type of receiver he has. You know, he's got like a big body guy there. I forget his name at the moment, but he's draft eligible. Big guy, 6'4". Maybe back shoulder's more viable there. But if you watch him throw at the combine, he had a hard time hitting the deep throw. I think he had 3 or 4 opportunities. I think he was 1 for 4. You know, and like he got to a point, and I think part of it is because his arm is so good. And what I mean by that is he's throwing like darts, as opposed to kind of throwing these high arcing kind of opportunities where the receiver can make you right. And so I think he missed 2 and then throws 1 to Ryan Flournoy from Western Missouri, where it's like this, you know, it looks like he's trying to hit the top of the dome, but the receiver can adjust to it. And again, that's where his lack of throw volume becomes a little bit concerning, I think. It's that type of stuff where it's like, yeah, you do this NFL read, you do this NFL window, you have the arm talent, you have the footwork, but like you just don't have the volume of throws to kind of know, hey, I can layer this one, I can touch this one in there. Now, can he get there? Absolutely. But in terms of the thing you're talking about, it's like, and I kind of going back to the beginning of the conversation, it's like, if we had to start someone tomorrow, who's it going to be in this Cliff Kingsbury offense? It's going to be Jaden Daniels. It's just
right.
The other two guys might have slightly higher ceilings potentially. Again, that's not a knock on Jaden Daniels because I think he's got a very high ceiling as well. But there are these issues with them that you're kind of like, can this get corrected? Can we fix this? And usually you don't want a guy starting day one who have some of these things going on. So.
Yeah, so that's going to be the question. Is it a long-term? Is it a short-term? I think they're probably more comfortable with Marcus Mariota than anyone in the fan base is, and certainly you and I are, but I also am kind of with, like, I don't care what happens in the short-term if you get the Pro Bowl guy in the long-term. So, you know, we'll see about that. Last thing I'll just note on McCarthy real quick. I was texting, you know, we're watching the highlights and it's the TV copy, and all of a sudden my pal Noah Eagle is calling a bunch of those games. And so he's, of course, play-by-play for the Big Ten for NBC. And I texted Noah and I was like, I'm watching McCarthy and I like him way more than I should. And, you know, just kind of have that conversation going with Noah. And he said he is maybe the most elite mental college athlete I've ever talked to. So when you talk about the conversation stuff, and Noah's a younger guy. It's not like he's been doing this for 30 years, but like he's for the 5-6 years that he's been doing this, like he's been doing it at a very high level. Noah, very elite himself. So he's been around, you know, Big Ten basketball, Big Ten football, some of the other conferences at a very high level. talking to a lot of really high level players, and he's like, McCarthy's the most elite guy. And we know that he's got like the mindfulness stuff, and he does the grounding before games. And so he just has like a very, very intentional approach to mental health, and to his mentality side of his game that I think will probably ring well with a lot of what DQ and Adam Peters are looking for, people who are in control of that part of their game. And we just, it's not as public in terms of how Jaden Daniels and Drake May are on that and care for that and all of that. But I do think that, you know, just from like a, we know we can take the coaching because he was with Harbaugh, the processing, like all this stuff that we put in the mental bucket, like JJ McCarthy is a really elite prospect. And that's certainly going to speak well to this group that is looking at that very heavily. And then it just becomes a matter of how well do Jaden and Drake score on those same things.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought up the mental side, because I think that's great. I think you see that when he's doing interviews too. The other thing I wanted to point out is I was talking to a group of people at the Combine who'd worked with Jaden Daniels pretty extensively. And they were talking about like this VR system that they had developed. And that's what I was talking to them about. But through the conversation, you realize that Jaden Daniels is putting in like an extra 2 or 3 hours a day in preparation, you know, to kind of get ready for each week on this VR system, you know? And so like, even though he kind of comes off as like a little quiet and a little aloof, like you talked about the Herm Edwards thing, like dude's competitive and dude's a worker. And I think like, that's, again, they all have their elements. And I think like, you know, we, you know, I don't know anybody, I didn't talk to anybody about Drake May. I don't know him that well, but it's cool when you hear these guys handling themselves in that way. And again, it comes back to like, I think about this conversation, like we're literally splitting hairs here. It's like, well, this, but that. And you can kind of say like, oh, this is a plus, like that the Drake May has kind of got the most upside. That's a plus, right? We want that. And if they did that, I'd be like, good. You know, if they went, oh, we felt most comfortable with JJ McCarthy because of the youth and because of good. And then if you said Jaden Daniels because he's an absolute baller and he can make plays, like, right. Good. Like, they're all good. It's just about kind of trying to distill like what is the right fit here for this organization long-term, because it is a big, big decision that's going to shape the next 5 years probably. So
no doubt. I will say this, we're not going to do let's wrap it up with a nice, neat, who would you take? I would say Drake May is going to make me the most nervous, but I also get it because he's got the biggest upside, and we'll see what the other two have to offer, and whether or not they wind up being the pick at number two. We're less than a month away. And we'll continue talking about it with all kinds of people here on Take Command. Wrapping up Take Command with Logan Paulson, I am Craig Hoffman, and once upon a time, Logan, one of us had a pro day. It wasn't me. It was you, sir. It was me.
Yeah, I guess it was. Pro days are, it was crazy because like season ended, we had a bowl game, season ended, and it's just like you're training for about, it's like 2.5 months. It's not a long window to kind of create some of these adaptations. Like you're kind of banged up from season. Like you're just, and it's just like the most important job interview of your life. And like when I go back and like William, our producer, sent a picture of me running my 40, and I was like mad at my technique in the picture now that I've coached a lot of people in the 40. You know, I'm like, why did I do that? But the process is super interesting, right? And I think the actual community around the preparation is really cool. Like you get these really smart coaches, these really good bunch of guys, all these other guys kind of working to the same goal, which was great. And then on the day, like, it's so nerve-wracking. It's like, I remember just being so nervous. Like, I wasn't like nervous, but I was like, I better do well or I'm not going to be playing football here pretty soon. And you just kind of try to do everything, put your best foot forward. And it is a process. And so, especially if you're not like a top end guy, like it's a big deal. Like, cause I didn't get to go to the Senior Bowl. I didn't get to go to the Combine. So this was my only opportunity to interact with these teams. And it's not a good sign when at your pro day, like guys are saying, you know, like, what's the most you ever weighed? Would you ever move to tackle or ever move to guard? Like, that would be pretty cool, don't you think? And I was like, I don't know. I would do it if you asked, but like, it's just such a different environment, you know? So mine didn't go that great, but I was happy with the result because I ended up playing football for a long time. So
yeah, you did. 10 years in the NFL, worked out, and you didn't have to move to tackle or guard. So that was, that was good.
That was bonus.
Was there anybody, like any first round picks that you were like, I don't think MJD, but you guys weren't.
He was a couple of years before me. He was 3 years before me. Mercedes was 3 years before me. Altron Werner was the guy that went highest in that group. He played corner for Tennessee for a long time, like 8 years, 9 years. He was second round pick. I think he was like the 37, 36 pick. So he was there. A lot of teams were there to see him. We had a lot of talented guys on the team, guys that like never really like hit their level in college. But, you know, as a scout, you're like, I like this guy. He's a five-star recruit. Can he? And so there was a lot of people at our pro day. There's a lot of people there. And UCLA is a pretty big school, so there's a pretty good opportunity. But, yeah, man, pro days are nuts. I'm kind of getting stressed just thinking back to it. Pro day things? No, because like it's pretty boring. Like when you think about it, like you run your 40. Oh, this is one thing. So back when I was doing my pro day, so you run your 40, you do your 5-10-5, you do your vertical jump, your broad jump, your bench press, and it takes a long time. So a big thing they talked about was like making sure you had all your nutrition taken care of, because you're going to get in there at 10 and you're not going to eat again until like 4 o'clock. And so I remember going through and everything was fine. And they're like, hey, we want you to do the 20-yard shuttle, which they don't do anymore. And 20-yard shuttle is 20 back, 15 back, 10 back, 5 back. And so it's basically like an aerobic conditioning test. And I was like, I don't really want to do it. And one of the scouts was like, you should do it. And I was like, okay. And then so you did that drill. And like I remember thinking my hamstrings have never been tighter in my entire life, because I didn't train for it at all. And then I had to go do field work right afterwards. So it was just like one of those things where like you as the player, I didn't have anybody advocating for me on the day. Like my agent, he has to watch from the stands, right? But to be like, don't do this, this is stupid. And then go through a bunch of field work afterward with like these crazy tight, pumped up hamstrings. So that was kind of a dumb little thing. And they don't do it anymore, probably because people are getting hurt doing that. So
yeah, the old 60-yard shuttle just magically disappeared off the training
radar. The old 60-yard shuttle.
Ugh, gross.
Of the test. Definitely my pro day was not as good as like Joe Milton's, for example.
Yeah. You'd rather talk about Joe Milton's pro day than your own, which
I would honestly, rather talk about Joe Milton's pro day.
Honestly, it's a pretty good pro day to talk about. What a freak.
It's a great pro day. Dude, like, so like my pro day was like so boring, you know, like it was like, you know, did a jump, you did a run. Like Joe Milton's like, it's like watching a transformer. Like you sent me that clip yesterday and I was like, dude threw the ball like 90 yards in the air and he ran a 4.5 and he's almost 250. Like people, like, do you think he get? I was trying to think about this. Like everyone's like talking about traits and how important traits are. Like obviously Richardson last year's film was a little bit more consistent, but I'm like, someone's going to take a flyer on this guy like in the second or third round just because he's such a freaky dude, probably, I would think. I don't know where you fall on that though.
I would.
Like
I
he's
would,
a mutant.
I, mean, I like I always go back to quarterback being a mental processing position. It is that above all else. That is the number one skill. And Milton, that's unfortunately his weakness based off the tape. Yeah. But they just get to a point where the physical traits are so far above everything else that you like the like it's a formula, right? And the weight of mental processing is really high in that formula. And then physical traits have a certain weight. Eventually the multiplier is so high on like the score that you're plugging into the formula that it overcomes the lower number on the other side, if that made sense mathematically.
But it's crazy.
Point
like
being,
watching that
he's,
dude move around.
Yeah, crazy. And you just have to try it. And I don't know like what the kind of team is that does that. Like if you're Seattle, right?
Oh, I was just thinking, like, if you're Atlanta and you just paid Kirk and you need a backup quarterback, like the guy to sit for a couple of years behind Kirk, like, is that a spot you take it? Seattle, yeah. Philadelphia, Indianapolis, even to a certain extent, like, let's take a long time, let you sit for a couple of years, and then you turn you into like a short yardage, you know, like zone read bomb type of guy and fourth and one, like you will be our tush push guy basically, like. I don't know, man. That seems like, and apparently, like, I've talked to a bunch of people. Funny, the people that'll talk about him to you, he's like a very dynamic leader. Like, the people love him in Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, he's like, in terms of like leadership intangibles, it's very, very high. But again, like, the processing elements, like how he sees the field, aren't there yet. But I just look at him and I'm like, we should probably do like a freaks list. Like, obviously, he'd be the quarterbacks for the freaks team, but we should get at every position and just talk about, because like, there's something enthralling, in my opinion, about the combine and the draft, is that you find these dudes in a landscape of just freaky human beings. You find this guy that is head and shoulders above everybody that I've watched over the last 10 years at the position. And you're like, what? Like, they're not supposed to be getting more like stronger arms and faster and bigger. Like, it's just crazy to me. And he's a perfect example of that.
Yeah. I guess my question with him is like, when does that stuff matter? right? Like,
I don't know. If
on a down in, down out basis, the ability to throw the ball 90 yards doesn't really come up a whole lot. You know, and if things are going well, honestly, your ability to run a 4.5 doesn't come up that much either, because hopefully the ball's getting out on time and on target. You know, and in his case, maybe he's throwing it through a receiver's chest. But like, it also, I'm intrigued. Like,
I think that's the thing. It's like, if I'm a coach, I remember I had this conversation with Kyle, and I was like, because I think his ultimate goal is like basically like to put his brain into a really athletic player. You know what I mean? Like, that's his goal, right? It's like Robert Griffin. If like Robert Griffin had Kyle's brain, like, he's in the Hall of Fame. And like, maybe like as a coach, if I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can do that with this guy. I can teach him the ways of the quarterback position. And we will have the freakiest guy ever to play the position. And now not only do you have to defend 53 yards this way, but you have to defend 90 yards vertically into the field.
We're always in the red zone.
He can touch any spot of the field at any moment. And he can run. Like, think about the flexibility that would give you. Like, look at me. I don't even really like him that much as a prospect, but I'm like giddy over it because I'm like, you could literally do anything.
Yeah. Like, if you're Sean or you're Kyle, frankly, just like take a flyer at the end of round two, round three, and be like, I don't know. Hey, if Brock Purdy gets hurt, we're just going to the all-go offense. You know, my pal Jane Costin has always advocated for in college someone to run an all-PI offense.
Yes.
Just like throw deep balls every snap and trust that one of the three downs you're going to get a PI call or a completion. And like, let's run the all-PI offense with Joe Milton. It's a spot foul in the league. Yeah, done.
Yeah,
Joe, sorry, man. Your arm's going to be a little sore.
Yeah, but like, we're going to make it work. And then again, like, the ability to run like quarterback power and zone reads, and like, he's a robust, well-built guy. And when you watch him play, like, he's like trucking people, and there's no comment about, oh, he's taking too many big hits because he's hitting people. You know what I'm saying? It's just like,
right, he's delivering.
Again, I don't love him as a prospect, but like, when you see that, you're just like, these traits are so unique. We might as well take a shot on him. And definitely not in the same way that my traits were unique. My traits were unique the other way, in that they were the most boring, bland traits of all time. So,
and yet you played 10 years.
I did. And that's why this is such a crapshoot. It is. Cause like, you just get this guy. Like, I think I've told you this story on the podcast where I had a coach, one of my buddies, he sent me an email and he was like, look at this list. And it's all the tight ends that have played significant minutes over the last, I don't know, I think it was 25 years. So a lot of names on there, like a lot of awesome names, really good football players. And it's all their combine numbers, right? And they're all greens and yellows, which means like those are passing grades. And I go through the list and I'm kind of like, this is kind of cool. I wonder why he sent it to me. At the very bottom of the list, there are two red names where the 40 was red, the arm length was red, the vertical jumping was red. So three reds across the board. I'm like, this guy must suck. And whose name was it? It was my name. You know, so like, you get these like random outliers of people that are not measurably ready for the position, but they make it work, you know? And so that's why this position, this game is so, this game of evaluating talent in the NFL is so fun, because it's, what is the magic that makes this guy play 10 years in the NFL or not be good at football? And that's why this is so awesome.
Yes. And with that, you know, you become a good podcaster at the end. So there's that. That's Logan Paulson. I am Greg Hoffman. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Take Command. We hope that you liked it. If you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe. Or if you're you know, familiar with the show and haven't subscribed yet, you should subscribe too. We have full episodes online to watch at the Team 980 on YouTube. And of course, you can listen in your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week. I think we're going to do the Freaks List episode. So that's going to be super fun. We'll do that. Some of our scouting media friends will stop by over the next month, as well as we have all eyes on Detroit. We're less than a month away from the 2024 NFL Draft. And we're talking about it with you here on Take Command.